Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5. The psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. The psalmist said, Many, O Lord my God, are thy wondrous works which thou hast done. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much today for who you are and what you've done for us and what you are doing for us and what you will do for us. Lord, we know that you deserve all the honor that's because of your greatness and your care. And I pray that today, as we look into this subject, that you might get glory for yourself. Lord, everything we have and everything we are, we owe to you, and we praise you for that. I ask, Lord, that you might give enablement to bring the message, make it clear today of why it truly is wonderful to be a Christian. And then, Lord, I pray that you might speak to that heart who maybe has not trusted Jesus. And if there's one like that today, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. Accomplish your will through your word, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Because the Lord has, as the psalmist said, done many wonderful works for us, we can truly say today it is truly wonderful to be a Christian. It is wonderful to be a Christian. But many people do not come to the Lord because they cannot see what we see. They can't see how it would make much of a difference in their life to be a Christian. In fact, many times they look at us and say, they have problems, we have problems. They have failures, we have failures. They have other things that they don't like, we have things we don't like. And why should I become a Christian? Why is it so wonderful to be a Christian? They many times are looking for immediate and tangible results, which, because they don't have the eye of faith to see it, they can't really observe. But I believe that it is wonderful to be a Christian. And this morning I want us to look at that subject. And as we do, we're going to consider why it's wonderful to be a Christian. As we look at this, we're going to look at it from both sides, from the negative and from the positive. First of all, the negative. It is not wonderful to be a Christian, and I'm going to give you some of the reasons. It is not wonderful to be a Christian because Christians have no needs. You know, if you're unsaved and you say, well, why should I be a Christian? I mean, give me some reasons. Of course, we can tell them about sin and all that, but many times they don't look at that. But we can say this, well, it's not wonderful to be a Christian because Christians have no needs, because we know that we do have needs. You know, the unsaved have needs, and so do we. In fact, the Bible states it that way. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, it says, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Do Christians suffer needs? Do we have needs? Sure we do. We have needs just like other people have needs. And so that's not the reason it's wonderful to be a Christian. It's also not wonderful to be a Christian because we have no problems. It's not because you can say, well, if you just trust the Lord, you won't have any more problems. Well, we know that's not true. In fact, the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares on him. We have cares. I mean, we have cares brought about by circumstances. We have cares brought about by people. We have cares brought about by our own problems. I mean, we have troubles. We have problems. Christians have many of those. We have sickness. There are some people who say, you know, if you're really a Christian and you're really living for the Lord, if you believe enough, you won't have any sicknesses. Now, that's not true. You find all any of those people that have lived in the past or those living today, those in the past, they've died. And those in the future, if the Lord tarries, they're going to die too. And they're going to get sick. You see, Paul was sick. Paul was sick and had what he called a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed three times, Lord, to remove it. And God said no. God said, Paul, I'm not going to take away that infirmity from you. I'm going to let you keep it. But I want you to know this. My grace is sufficient for you as you go through that. So being a Christian doesn't mean that you're not going to have any problems. Also, it's not wonderful to be a Christian because Christians have no enemies. And that's not the reason it's wonderful to be a Christian. Because we do have enemies. I mean, sometimes you find out that you have more enemies once you trust the Lord as your Savior because you're living in enemy territory. We have the devil's against us and the world's against us. Even our own flesh is against us. So we do have enemies. Paul or Peter put it like this in 1 Peter chapter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom it may devour. And he's preaching to Christians. He's writing to Christians. He says, you have an adversary, the devil. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, he says this, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, we do suffer as Christians. We have enemies, people who are against us. In fact, Jesus put it like this in John 15, verse 19. He says, the world hates you. You know, have you ever known of a person who they die and someone says, I don't know if they had an enemy in the world. I've known of people that way. Didn't have an enemy in the world. I remember when I was a young man going into the ministry. And probably when I entered the ministry about 29 years old, or 28 years old rather, took a church. I was assistant pastor for a year. And then at 29, I was the pastor of a church. But when I started my ministry, I probably could have said at that time, you know, I don't know of any enemies that I have. But I didn't, because I didn't know of any. I maybe did have, but I didn't know of any. But, you know, after I pastored a while, I found out I had some. And the really the sobering thing was they were in the church. That's the way it is, you know. Sometimes you have enemies. Now, I had enemies outside the church. I remember I was preaching one time. There was an election coming up, and a certain man was running for president. I won't tell you who it was. Some of you might have voted for him back then. But I said something negative on the air because I had a Saturday morning radio broadcast every Saturday morning for 21 and a half years. And so I was said something negative about it. And I had a guy call me, and he was a Christian. He was a deacon of a Baptist church. And boy, he got all upset with me. And I found out that he was against me. You know, sometimes you take a stand and you have people move against you. But we do have enemies, don't we? It doesn't make it wonderful to be a Christian because you say, well, I don't. When you get saved, you won't have any enemies. No, we do have enemies. Another thing, it's not wonderful to be a Christian because you have no limitations. You can't say, well, if you'll become a Christian, you can do anything. If you'll become a Christian, I mean, all of a sudden you have superhuman powers. You can just do anything. You don't have any limitations. In fact, the Lord says in the scripture, he says, when you become a Christian, you'll find out you had more limitations than you knew of. Because here's the way Jesus states it. In John 15, verse 5, he says, without me, you can do nothing. Now, how many more limitations can you have than that? Without me, you can do nothing. Before we met the Lord, we thought we could do a lot of things. And the Lord says, without me, you can do nothing. We just come to a realization that we do have limitations. We can't do it. And so that's not the reason it's wonderful to be a Christian. It's also not wonderful to be a Christian because you have, and I know these are double negatives, but it's not wonderful to be a Christian because you have no uncertainties. In fact, there are uncertainties when you live for Jesus. To us, many things are uncertain. You might say, now, Pastor, I don't know about that. Well, let me tell you what the Scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Now we see through a glass darkly. We don't know. We're uncertain about what's going to happen. We don't know. We see through a glass darkly. Now turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's some good verses here I want us to look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Now, this is Paul writing, the great apostle Paul, probably one of the greatest Christians, if not the greatest Christian that ever lived. He said in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. The apostle Paul said this. He said, there are uncertainties in our life. We are troubled on every side. In other words, we don't know how it's going to turn out. We're troubled. And he said, we are perplexed. Have you ever been perplexed? You know, you face a situation and you don't know how it's going to turn out. You don't know how in the world it can work out together for good. You just don't, you can't see how this is going to work. You're perplexed. There are uncertainties in your life. Look at another passage in this same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 5. He says, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Now, that doesn't sound like these Christians that some of these people talk about. They said, if you just have enough faith, if you just have enough faith, you know, everything will turn out right. If you're sick, that's because you don't have enough faith. If you're going through trouble, it's because you don't have enough faith. Hey, this is Paul talking. And none of us hold a candle to Paul. And what has Paul said? He says, when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. I mean, we couldn't rest. We were troubled on every side. He didn't say there were troubles on every side. He said we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. We feared. Sometimes Christians are afraid. I know you can say, every one of you today could say there are times when you're afraid. That's all right. It's all right to be afraid because the Lord says you will have fears. And Paul says, nevertheless, verse 6, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforteth us by the coming of Titus. You see how important people are? Paul, the apostle, said, I was troubled. I had no rest. I had fightings without and fears within, and God sent Titus. God sent Titus. Now, we know a lot about Paul. We know a little bit about Titus. But Titus was very important to Paul because he helped him in a time of trouble. I'm saying this, you know, Christians have uncertainties, and uncertainties bring fears. So that's not why it's wonderful to be a Christian, that because you don't have any problems, any uncertainties, we do. It's also not wonderful to be a Christian. It's because Christians have no questions. Any of you have any questions? You know, at camp this week, young people came up and asked questions. One girl came up and asked me a question about homosexuality. And she told about a friend that she had, and she told the situation, a little bit of the situation. Because I had just preached that night. I preached each night during teen week, and I just preached that night as the first half of the message. I preached on that very sin because kids need to know about it. They're told a lie today about it. But she had a question, so she asked me a question. Another girl came up later and asked me a question about doubts that she was having. You see, we have a lot of questions, don't we? And what makes it wonderful to be a Christian is not that if you trust Christ, you won't have any questions. We do have questions. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 42, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? You notice how he says that? I will say unto God who is my rock. He's my rock. You say, well, if he's your rock, then you don't need to have any fears or any questions. No, he's my rock. But then he said, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? I've said on different occasions that it's not wrong to ask God why. Sometimes people say, but I never ask God why. It's not wrong to ask God why. It's wrong to ask God why in this way. Why'd you do that, God? It's wrong to get mad at God. It's wrong to question God. But it's not wrong to say, God, would you let me know why that happened? Is there something I need to learn from this? Is there something I need to watch out for? And there's nothing wrong with asking God why, as long as you do it in faith. But the psalmist had questions and he asked God. He said, God, it looks to me like you've forgotten me. Why have you done that? And he did have questions. Jeremiah 15, verse 18. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Jeremiah said, Lord, why is my pain continuing like this? So he had questions. We often do not understand the things that happen. So it's all right to have questions. Let's just question the Lord in faith. But being a Christian, being wonderful to be a Christian doesn't mean you don't have questions. Also, it's not wonderful to be a Christian because Christians have no unfulfilled desires. You can't say, well, if you become a Christian, all of your desires will be met and you'll have no unfulfilled desires. Well, the Bible says it like this in Romans chapter 15, verse 22. I have been much hindered from coming to you. Paul said that. He wanted to go there to minister to them. He said, I have been hindered from coming to you. I want to, but I can't. Chapter 15, verse 23, it says, having a great desire these many years to come unto you. Paul desired to come, but those desires weren't fulfilled at that time. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, he says, endeavoring more abundantly to see your face with great desire, wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again we tried to come, but Satan hindered us. Now, I'm sure there are people here in the congregation this morning who have desires that are not met. There's things that you would like to see happen that have not happened. And you're Christian. You know the Lord. You love the Lord. But it just seems like what you want to happen has not happened. And you're trusting the Lord and you're praying, but it just hasn't happened. Well, that's part of being a Christian. Sometimes we have unfulfilled desires. But we know that as those desires are unfulfilled, we can still wait on the Lord. We can trust the Lord and know He knows what's best. But another thing about it is this. It's not wonderful to be a Christian because we say, well, Christians have no loneliness. You know, we're never lonely. Now, some widows can tell you that. Are you ever lonely? Oh, yes. We can get lonely. So Paul even experienced that. Romans chapter 11, verse 3. This isn't what Paul, there's another verse talking about him, but he says this. He's talking about Elijah, and he said this, Lord, he's quoting Elijah, and he said, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Now, that same passage tells us that wasn't true, but that's what he felt. He felt all alone. He said, I'm left alone. I'm the only one, and they seek to kill me. The Lord had to remind him, there's 7,000 have yet bowed the knee. But he felt alone, didn't he? And didn't Paul feel alone when he said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16? He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. So you can't tell a person, you know, you need to become a Christian because if you're a Christian, you'll never be lonely. Well, there's a sense in that's true if you'll recognize that the Lord's always with you. But we're human, aren't we? And sometimes we feel that loneliness because sometimes it's lonely to be a Christian because you're standing alone. At school, young people who stand for Christ sometimes feel lonely because their friends don't understand and they don't like their stand. And sometimes they have to sit by themselves because they won't participate in the conversation, do the things that others do, and they feel a little alone. Of course, they can sit there and remind themselves, the Lord's with me. But we're human, and the loneliness is felt. Also, another thing is, we can't say that it's wonderful to be a Christian because when you become a Christian, you don't have any faults. Wouldn't that be good? You know, if you'll just become a Christian, all your imperfections are taken care of. You don't have any more faults. You'll never do anything wrong. That's not it. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, let me just read those verses to you. You're familiar with them, I'm sure. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He says this, you do sin. Even when you get saved, you're going to fail. Even when you get saved, you're going to do things that are wrong. You're going to sin. So that's not the key. It's not, oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian because when you become a Christian, you're perfect. No, that's not it either. So we can say, all Christians have needs. All Christians have problems. All Christians have enemies. All Christians have limitations. All Christians have uncertainties. All Christians have questions. All Christians have unfulfilled desires. All Christians at some time experience loneliness. And all Christians have faults. We have faults. So what is it? Positively, what is it that makes it wonderful to be a Christian? Well, let me take those same things and tell you why it's wonderful to be a Christian. This is just a few. First of all, it's wonderful to be a Christian because God has promised to meet our needs. We have needs, yes, but God has promised to meet our needs. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need. It's not that you don't have needs, but God will supply everything that is needed. God will let you experience needs. God will let you go through hardships. But with that, He will give you the supply. So the answer is, oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian because when I have needs, God supplies what I need. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And you remember Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Will I have needs? Oh, yes. I need to drink. He leads me beside the still waters. I need protection because the enemies are there. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He doesn't take away the enemies, but He's there. You see, the Lord meets all of those needs. Secondly, it's wonderful to be a Christian because God wants us to cast our problems on Him and He will says He'll work them out together for good. So it's not that we don't have problems, but that we can take the problems that He allows us to have and cast them on Him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care on Him because He cares for you. That's what's wonderful about being a Christian. We're like other people. We have problems. But we know what to do with our problems. We can take those and hand them to the Lord. Cast all those cares, and that word means roll them over on the Lord. Your neighbor has problems, sometimes very similar to your problems. And the difference is, you have God. And you can take your problems and roll them over on the Lord and trust Him. Psalm 55, verse 2 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. That's the key to being wonderful to be a Christian. We can take our problems to the Lord. And we can know this, as Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. But then let's go on. Another thing about that makes it wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to be a Christian because God is greater than any enemy that you ever have, and He can handle every one of them. Do we have enemies? Sure we do. But God is greater than any enemy, and He can handle every one of them. And He will. The greatest enemy, the Bible says, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Can He handle that one? Yes, He can. He can handle that one. And so the Lord says, I'll take care of you. I'll meet your needs. I'll take care of your problems. And I'll handle your enemies. 1 John 4, verse 4 says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. He that's in the world is the devil. He that's in us is the Lord. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, God's so big and God's so mighty. If God be for us, enemies, sure we have them, but they're no match for Him. Who can be against us? The Lord can handle every one of them. And then Psalm 56, if you'll turn back there. Psalm 56, Verse 9. The psalmist says, "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." You say, I can have enemies and it still be wonderful to be a Christian because the Lord's my friend and He's for me. And as Romans said, if God be for us, who can be against us? And then notice that same Psalm, Psalm 56, verse 11. "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." Will man try to do things to me still? Sure. I'm still in this enemy territory. I'm still in the world. And people will try to do things, but the Lord's my friend. And He'll take care of me. And so God is greater than any enemy. It's also wonderful to be a Christian because God has no limitations. We said earlier, we have limitations. But God has no limitations. And so He's able to do anything. Jeremiah 32, verse 17 says, "Oh, Lord God, there is nothing too hard for Thee." Nothing too hard for Thee. You see, you might have the same problem that your neighbor has. But the difference is, if you know Jesus as your Savior and your neighbor doesn't, the difference is that God has no limitations and there's nothing too hard for Him. You might have a problem that you can't solve. And your neighbor has a problem that he can't solve. The difference is you have the Lord and He can solve it. There's nothing too hard for Him. He is not limited in any way. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul didn't say, "I can do all things because I'm a Christian." He said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And he knew what Jesus said. "Without me, you can do nothing." So if you put that verse together with this verse, you get the whole truth. And that is, without God, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He's the answer. And so it's great to be a Christian because our God has no limitations. It's also wonderful to be a Christian because God has no uncertainties. He knows it all. I face uncertainties. You face uncertainties. My wife called a while ago, you know, with the car problems in Virginia, 350 miles, I think about where she's at right now, about 350 miles from me. And it's uncertain how that'll be worked out, but God, it's not uncertain with God. And I told her, you know, the Lord has a plan. The Lord has a purpose. The Lord knows what He's doing. He can take care of it. And He can. It's not uncertain with God. And we can rest in that, knowing that God is there and He can handle it. There's no uncertainties with God. Matthew 6, verse 8 says, "Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." Before you ask Him, the Father knows. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35 says, "He doeth according to His will." And so knowing that to be true, He removes our fears. Uncertainties cause fears, as we saw earlier. But when we know that to be true, that God has no uncertainties, He can do anything, then it removes those fears. It's wonderful to know that. It's wonderful to know that. Because all of us face those times when we don't know and we're uncertain, but we know He knows and He can handle it. Another thing is that God has all the answers to all of our questions. You see, it's wonderful to be a Christian because even though we have questions, God has all the answers. Did you know that God has every answer to every problem and every question you have ever had? There's nothing that God doesn't know. God knows everything. And so He's our Savior. And He can handle everything. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." The Lord knows. He can take care of it. He has the answers to our questions. Psalm 147, verse 5 says, "His understanding is infinite." So Isaiah 40, verse 28, "There is no searching of His understanding." God has the answer to all of our questions. It's wonderful to be a Christian, to know that all my questions, the answers to all those are known by my Lord who loves me. Also, it's wonderful to be a Christian because God can fulfill our desires. You see, we do have unfulfilled desires, don't we? There are things we want and we don't get, and things we wish would turn out this way and maybe they don't. But God says, I can fulfill all your desires. In His time, in His way, and how it will be best for us, God will work it all together for good. The Lord says this in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You see, many times God will send us through problems and trials and even desires, things we want that we can't seem to have, so that we'll come to Him and delight ourselves in Him and delight ourselves in His will and delight ourselves in His answer, whatever it might be. And then we find as we trust Him, He gives us the desires of our heart. Sometimes He changes our desires. So they're equal up, you know, they line up with His desires. And He gives us the desires of our heart. And so it's wonderful to be a Christian because God will fulfill the desires of our heart as we trust Him. Then also, it's wonderful to be a Christian because God will always be with us and will never be alone. I could sense, as I said a while ago, that some widows here know about what it is to be alone. I could sense some of them almost wanting to raise their hand and said, I'm not alone. Because you're not, are you? But you get that lonely feeling sometimes. But it's wonderful to be a Christian because when you feel that lonely feeling, you know, according to the Scripture, you're not alone. The Lord's there with you. Psalm 27, verse 10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord will never leave us. Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing at all can separate us from His love. And so we know that He's always there, that He always loves us, and it's wonderful to be a Christian to know that's true. Tonight you're going to view a film about Lady Jane Grey, beheaded at 16 years old for her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Was she alone at that time? No. She was not alone, and she realized the presence of the Lord. And immediately, when her life was absent from the body, the Bible says she was present with the Lord. God can make you aware of His presence at some of the worst times in your life. And you know you're not alone. Also, it's wonderful to be a Christian because our sins are forgiven. It's not that we don't fail. It's not that we don't have sins. We do. But we can have our sins forgiven. Positionally, for salvation, our sins are all forgiven. I'm glad of that from birth all the way to death, however long I live. I was watching some pictures of Bible camp. Oh, boy. Seeing pictures of yourself are humbling, aren't they? Who is that old preacher? I didn't know I looked as old as I do. And at camp, I think I gained 5 pounds. That didn't help any. You know, we ate a big breakfast. I'm used to having cereal for breakfast. Occasionally, you know, I'll have eggs and bacon, but just not very often. I just usually eat a bowl of cereal. Every morning at camp, it was biscuits. It might have been grits or gravy. There was sausage gravy. I'm making you all hungry, I know. Chip beef gravy, fried sausage, bacon, Canadian bacon. I mean, you need to go to camp next year. The food was great. And then you come into lunch and you have a big lunch and then you have a big supper. 3 big meals a day. And I put on about 5 pounds this week, the last 2 weeks. So I've got to get that off. But you know, it's wonderful to know that the Lord is with us. And even though we have faults and failures, the Lord has forgiven us from all the way from birth till death. If I live to be 100 years old, there's 100 years of sin that's already forgiven because it was laid on Jesus. And when I'm accepting Him as my Savior, it's all taken care of. It's under the blood, and I am not, and I will face the Lord someday standing before Him perfect in His righteousness. But in my Christian life, I sin. We sin almost every day, if not every day. But when we bring our faults to the Lord and our failures to the Lord, we confess that and He forgives us as a matter of fellowship. And that means we have fellowship with the Lord, even though we might have just done something wrong. And we say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me of that? And the Lord restores our fellowship. It's wonderful to be a Christian because sin is taken care of. Not that we don't have sin, but that there is an answer for it, with sin is taken care of. Yes, it's wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to be a Christian because God meets all of our needs. God handles all of our problems. God is greater than all of our enemies. God has no limitations. God has no uncertainties. He knows everything. God answers all of our questions. God fulfills all of our desires. God will never leave us alone, and God will always forgive our sins as a child of God. And I know this. From the Scripture, we find out that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God. That means if you have Christ, He makes your life wonderful. You see, the difference we've mentioned is that all of us, those things that everybody experiences, we mentioned. But the difference is that when you know the Lord, Christ is your Savior and Christ is our God, and God meets every one of those things. So Christ makes the difference. And the word Christian begins with Christ. It's a follower of Christ. It can mean even a little Christ, a follower of Christ, Christ-like person, a Christian. The difference is Christ. If you have Christ, that makes it wonderful. And we've just spoken this morning about it is wonderful to be a Christian. Present, it is wonderful. But let me close by saying it will be wonderful as well. It will be wonderful. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23 says, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And when you see tonight, as Lady Jane Grey, her life is taken, what they didn't realize, those who were standing around her, was she was far better off than they were when that axe came down and she was absent from the body and present with the Lord. Far better. So, boy, isn't that wonderful to be a Christian. Know when you die, it's just going to get better than anything you ever had down here. It's wonderful to be a Christian. And Philippians 1, verse 21 says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Even better. Now, how can you get better than that? All these blessings during life, and then when life is over, it's better than anything you ever experienced. It's wonderful to be a Christian. But I ask you today, are you one? Have you trusted Jesus? Have you put your faith in what He did for you on the cross of Calvary? Have you looked back in faith and said, Lord, I believe that You died for me and You were buried and You rose again, and I want You as my Savior and I want to live for You because I love You for what You did for me? Have you ever come to the Lord and trusted Him? If you haven't, I hope you will this morning. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You today for reminding us of some of the reasons that it's wonderful to be a Christian. And Lord, we thank You that we can call ourselves Christians, not because we're good, but because You're so merciful and You're so gracious. And You honored Your word when You said if we would believe that You would save us. And many of us in this room today have believed on Jesus Christ, and You've saved us. And it's wonderful to be Yours. It's wonderful to be a Christian. But Lord, someone maybe here today has not trusted the Lord. I pray that as You deal in their heart and we sing the invitation number, I pray that they will come. And today they'll accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We pray in His name.